Partacular episode 368, The Halo Mall, for the 16th of May 2013.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And this week, we are addressing the bulletin once again with its somewhat lack of an update, beneficial update. There's some good stuff in here, but again, just like some of the past bulletins, we're kind of getting to the scraps. There are some interesting things coming out with more weapon tuning, and we actually get to see another side of it, which is vehicles, which we haven't seen too much of. We get some info on the live stream that's coming up actually tomorrow. And of course, there's a couple other things in the bulletin. But we also have a special guest with us today who's going to be talking about a special project that I have been a part of for a little while now. And coming all the way over from across the pond over in England is Jack Fire. Welcome.
Hello. It's been a while. I think the last time was Complex when we were reviewing the matchmaking map.
Yes, the mini series that is still kind of stagnant. We have plans for people. We actually have people lined up to do it. It's just we haven't done them yet. But so last time you were on, we were actually talking about map complex and strategy and all that good stuff.
And I was actually in your room.
Yeah, he was here. It was how should I say it? It's an interesting 3 weeks.
Interesting. Not the agitator I would have chosen.
It was a good time. We had a good time. We had a lot of planning for this project that we've been working on and lots of other cool things that we did. Went to go see DC and a bunch of other little cool touristy things that I think made Jack happy. Although we didn't go see the Smithsonian where Transformers was filmed.
No, you did not.
At Dulles Airport.
No, but you decided to go with your mother and then tell me about it, make me feel jealous. That was great.
Yeah, I still need to send you the pictures.
Yes, but, you do.
Yeah, it was. I kind of found it ironic because my mom was like, "Yeah, I want to go out there to the other Smithsonian since I've never been there before." So I was like, okay, well, just with how plans turned out with her being up here, because she was up here for the cherry blossoms, but they didn't bloom that week. So we actually just went out there since we had a day to kill. So it was very, very cool.
Oh, well.
Next time you're here, though, we'll definitely go check it out.
Definitely.
So first things first, on to the bulletin. This week we have some news about the weapon tuning stream that's actually going to be tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So it's going to be interesting for all those who work during that time. If you can manage to get the stream up wherever you work, then you'll be able to watch this. It'll probably go on for about an hour or so, and there's some names on there that are going to be very familiar with. Before we get there, though, there is one thing at the very front of the bulletin that it's kind of noteworthy. I've honestly never heard of this award before, or this kind of group giving out awards before, but it is an award for Game of the Year for Halo 4, so it's worth noting. But there is a group out there called Geek Wire, and Halo 4 won their Game of the Year award. So it's interesting to see that with all the little quirks with Halo, that it's still able to pick up Game of the Year for some organizations out there. So obviously 343 is doing something right. They did come out with a pretty good game, a well-rounded story. With all the little quirks and things that have been pretty much exposed in Halo 4, if they manage to fix those for Halo 5, that means Halo 5 is going to be a knockout of the ballpark, to be honest.
Well, I mean, if there was ever an award for the effort award, then I think Bungie and then 343, any Halo company would win that every single time, because there are no companies like 343 that keep updating their game weekly. I don't think there are. At least not that I know. Are there?
Well, no AAA titles that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I mean, there are maybe other, like Team Fortress 2 or those kind of ones on Steam, but
yeah, but they update their game like every day.
I know. It's hard to keep up with them. But
I mean, Call of Duty, I think, keeps a pretty close eye on their stuff.
Well, they do, but then they take... I can remember when the original Black Ops came out, and literally, there was a problem with it day one. It took them, I think it was a month and a half to fix it. And that was just like, wow.
Well, some things you really can't... I mean, sometimes it takes a while to fix. There's certainly things with Halo 4 that took a while to fix.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, I think the complex glitch in that doorway, I think it took, what, 3 weeks, maybe a month?
It was just fun hiding in there.
And then Saucy's in the live stream. Shout out to Saucy over from Go Beyond Entertainment. He brought the point that it took 5 months to nerf the bolt shot. So, hey. I mean, there are definitely certain things where...
I'm still annoyed about that. I love the bolt shot.
No, the bolt... No, no. Bolt shot is bad. Well, just, sorry, you're not winning that argument.
Yeah, but it was just people who camped around corners with the bolt shot. That was all it was.
That's the problem.
Well, yes, but, you know, just don't do it. It became obvious when people were doing it, especially on a drift.
No, you cannot have a shotgun in your back pocket. It does... No.
Is that a shotgun in your pocket and you just pleased to see me?
Ha 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 ha, very funny.
No.
Yeah, Alice's pieces, yeah, I agree. It was not enough of a nerf.
What is it,
personally,
like 15 feet now?
Yeah, and it's still too much. There are certain situations where I'm going up against the bolt shot and I'm like, really? You're that far away from me and you're still killing me one shot with the bolt shot when I'm full shield. It literally needs to be something like 5 feet or where I'm in your face.
I'll be honest, maybe it's just me, but really, I don't run into that problem anymore. I really don't.
I still run into it. It's not as frequent now, but it's still a big problem to me.
But personally, my favorite secondary is the plasma pistol.
That's a whole nother can of worms. back to the bulletin, though. So, game of the year, again, from GeekWire, which is pretty cool that we're still seeing Halo 4 pick up some game awards from last year. So, Chris Lee, one of the lead producers on Halo 4, was actually there to pick up the awards. So, go Halo 4. Keep up the good work for 343, and hopefully when Halo 5 comes out, we'll see lots more awards go your way. Granted, that is kind of dependent upon what they actually do with Halo 5, and we'll have shows to actually talk about our opinions on what they need to do to bring kind of the former glory of Halo back to Halo 5. And we've definitely mentioned it on the show before. This weapon tuning thing, I think, is definitely a step in the right direction, kind of adhering to some of the competitive sides of Halo and really finding a good balance between the whole class of weapons with Halo, be able to kind of just deliver that straight up with Halo 5. A lot of the things that they really need to focus on is just kind of the core gameplay. I think that's where they need to really focus the most effort on Halo 5, but we'll save that for another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Weapon tuning. Live stream, which is actually going to happen tomorrow, like I said earlier, at 2 p.m. Pacific time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern time. I will be rushing home from work. Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be rushing home from work. I'll be trying to watch the stream somehow. I may be out, so I may be just pulling it up on my phone, to be honest. We'll see, because I'm actually, after work, I'm going out to see Star Trek, so maybe in between going out from work and seeing Star Trek, I'll watch the stream. So we'll see what happens. There are going to be some people on there that you guys are probably familiar with. For those who have been on the show before, we have Green Skull, who's a good friend of ours over from Ready Up Live, and Ghost Ayame. Both of them have been on our show, and they're both really, really cool dudes. They will be on the stream. Also joining them is Ninja, Neighbor, Crazed by Default, and Tashi. Ninja and Neighbor are competitive Halo players, and Tashi is over from Halo Gaff, if I recall. And Crazed by Default, he's a big Waypoint community member. I don't remember if he's associated with any other particular community out there, but he is a big presence on the Waypoint forums. So,
why weren't you invited, Dust?
I probably wasn't invited because I actually have other things I need to be doing, like a job.
Hi-yo!
Hey-o! I would have loved to go, but the people that they've chosen here, I'm very content with who they chose.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're a great six.
Yeah.
They're a good selection.
Yeah. And, of course, we're going to have BS Angel on the stream, which is going to be hilarious to watch, of course. And, well, actually, she'll be commentating. She won't be playing, but I think she'll be commentating. Quinn DeHoyo, who's also one of the lead multiplayer designers, he will be commentating as well. I'm sure we'll get our show of Bravo, David Ellis, and Kevin Franklin, all those guys on the multiplayer team. So it's going to be a good stream. I have a feeling it's going to be something very worthwhile to watch and actually be able to see the changes that they've been talking about over this last, what, month or so?
It's been a while.
Yeah. So get to see those changes actually put into a game and see live feedback and see how the community is going to respond to some of these changes. Of course, everything that we've heard so far sounds very, very good. I am personally, I'm still a little sad that the DMR is going to lose its luster, but I think what they're doing with balancing out the rest of the weapons is kind of a good way to go.
It is, because there never seemed like a reason to use the BR up until now. And I've been trying to use the BR a lot more, but whenever I come into a one-on-one fight with someone with the DMR, they win every single time if they're good.
Right. And so, there was the bulletin from last week where the guest that they had at the studio, he said that he now has a reason to use the light rifle. The light rifle has a purpose now for being played in Halo. So that's really nice to see, because I honestly have... I've only used the light rifle if it's been the weapon on the ground and I pick it up. It's like, okay, let me get a couple kills with it, kind of go towards commendations and that kind of stuff.
That's silly. You should... I'll be honest. Light rifle is my primary choice of weapon for Ragnarok, Exile. For lots of the big maps, it's a really good weapon, because it's a 4-shot kill. And it's only a 6-shot kill if you want to do body shots.
I didn't get used to it that well. Mm. It didn't really fit that well for me. The DMR was always my preferred weapon, and of course I'm now going to have to kind of balance that out with the new weapon balance that's going to be coming out here.
Mm.
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, it's just I'm now going to have to kind of reevaluate what my weapons of choices are going to be, and it's probably going to be now very dependent on what kind of game types I'm actually going into, so I'm probably actually going to have to use more than one loadout.
You haven't been?
No, I use one. I use one and only
one. Wow. I mean, I use basically three, and occasionally I use a fourth for the assault rifle. But I have one for each of them. I have a light rifle, DMR, and BR loadout. And I do use them on... I do have an assigned loadout for each map. Because there are different maps useful for the DMR, BR, and for the light rifle.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised you haven't done that yet.
I've always used the DMR. I mean, I definitely see good logic in your reasoning, but for me personally, my preferred weapon is the DMR. It's just, this is the weapon I most jive with, and I can almost outdo any BR from any range with the DMR, and light rifle, I mean, most of my engagements I do pretty well in, unless I'm missing shots, in which case that's me messing up. But I've really never had a problem using only the DMR. And now it looks like with what they're doing with the weapon balancing, that's going to change.
You will. You'll have a big problem now.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I'm just really happy they are doing it. Because I always got annoyed at that fact that the BR was pretty much useless for a long time.
I think a lot of people felt that way.
Mm.
Brent, your thoughts?
Yeah, the BR is just kind of... whatever. I don't really like switching between loadouts, mainly because I just like to maintain one kind of trigger cadence. And when you switch between the DMR and the BR, you have to kind of switch how fast you pull the trigger and reticule movement and things like that. So I find just sticking with one tends to help me, even on maps where there's different ranges of engagement. But I'm glad that the BR is getting buffed. I mean, I usually use the BR just out of defiance, because I don't like the DMR that much. I mean, it's just not fun for me. Like, I realize it's the superior weapon. Like, it's better than the BR right now, but I just don't like it. I don't like using it. It's not fun for me. So I should be good to go as soon as the update drops. I've been using the BR for a while now. So
I mean, that is the weird thing to me. In a one-on-one fight, the light rifle beats the DMR, but no one uses it.
People don't like new things.
Clearly.
They don't. I mean, really, that's the thing. Like, they use the DMR in Reach. They're used to that. They use the BR in Halo 2 and Halo 3. They're used to that. And I guess they just don't like the weapon animation, or I don't know, the trigger sound. I'm not sure.
Mm.
I know that sound kind of annoys me when I'm using the light rifle. That...
The only thing that worries about, the only thing worries me is what it looks like. It looks kind of like the binary rifle for me.
Yeah, it's a shortened version of it.
Yeah.
Whenever you kind of look at it. For me, I think the big thing was that I'm a flick player. So the DMR really works well in that kind of situation. But now since the reticle, the red turning reticle is being reduced and matched with the light rifle, that's going to really be throwing me off a little bit.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
One thing I really wanted to mention, I don't know if you guys mentioned this last week, but the red X's. Have you guys played with them yet?
Oh, yeah. So
Awesome.
Since our last podcast, actually the day after, they released an update, and the X's that they had in the game, which were white, well, now they've replaced them. They are red X's, and they last for at least 4 seconds or up until the person who is dead respawns. So, and I believe they are 25% bigger?
Yeah, that they are. You can really see them. I don't know if they're 25% bigger, but they're bigger than they were before.
Yeah, they're either 25 or 33% bigger. So they stand out a lot more and they last longer. So if you have not played Halo...
Size matters and endurance. I'm sorry, I just had to say that.
Wow. So if you haven't played Halo 4 since our last podcast, then definitely go load up your Xbox, load up Halo 4, and you'll get about a 30 meg update, download it, and that's kind of the update for the red X's, and it works really, really well. Very helpful. On My X has returned in its full and former glory, so all Halo players rejoice. Yay! And there was much rejoicing. It was also nice to see it be used in AGL this last weekend, too. They had AGL 6, and that was at Knoxville, and it was pretty good to see the red X's be kind of used in a competitive scene, because it's definitely something that was needed back in Halo, and I think they got quite a bit of use out of it. AGL 7 is going to be the real kicker, because that's going to be, at that point, they're going to have the weapon update being applied, so we'll get our first real test of the weapon balance and the Red X and all these updates that 343 has been working on, actually fully vetted in a tournament-like style. So it's going to be very, very good to see how people kind of react to these changes and how it alters the gameplay for Halo. If 343 has done this right, if all the weapon balancing turns out very well, it's going to be very, very entertaining to watch.
What really excites me about that AGL7 is the number. Is what I don't know if they actually got 120 players, 120 teams signed up yet, but the fact that they can now host 120 teams is really promising for me. Because before they've had maybe 64 max, and this last one was 32, and they didn't even get 32 teams to turn up, but this one's going to be 120.
So it's huge. Really,
I mean, that's getting close to. I mean, MLG maxed out at 216, I think it was, something like that. That's the maximum of teams that could enter. So I really want to see how this 120 tournament is going to go.
It's going to be interesting. I think that's, when we talk to them, that's going to be the biggest team set that they're ever going to have, at least for the foreseeable future. But it's something that Brad and Connor, when we had them on the show a couple weeks ago, they were very, very excited about, to really see AGL7 come in with the new update, having the weapon tuning and the weapon balancing put into the game, and they're bringing a bunch of other additional features to the streaming and to the actual stage for the event. So they're doing lots of big things for AGL7. So a lot of these things are just kind of coming into the place, and it's kind of building up the future for Halo and for Halo 5, and it's basically kind of picking up the pieces that kind of got broken off Halo 4 in the beginning. It's kind of late. I mean, we all kind of admit to that, but they're doing a good job picking up the pieces where they left off and really engaging, really adhering to what the community has to say, and it's very hopeful for Halo 5, in my opinion.
I mean, I know we keep looking forward to Halo 5, but that's still 2 years away.
It is.
So, I mean, I know you say it is a bit late, and I agree, it is a little bit late, but, you know, it's not too late.
Well, if you look at the populations for the playlists in Halo 4, they're kind of depressing.
They are very depressing, but some numbers flood back in. They fix the ranking system, And then they do other stuff, and I can see numbers coming back.
Yeah, you know, but the problem is that you never get even like a fraction of the people you lost. Well, I mean, for every 5 people you lose, you might get 1 back with a title update. I mean, that's the problem, really. And that's only going to get worse over time as people get bored of the game and move on to new ones.
I guess that's true.
That's kind of the problem with title updates in general, is that it doesn't make sense for the developer to do them real late in the game's life cycle, because there's just a diminishing return there as far as how many people you can get to stay playing your game and how many people you can get back. The numbers really aren't there, as opposed to taking those resources and putting them into development of your next game.
Hmm. I guess that never happens to COD, though.
We don't talk about COD here.
Call of Duty's a different case. That's kind of like a lightning in a bottle case.
They still have their mindless zombies just busy tapping away at the controllers.
Yeah. You got to realize when you sit around and your gamer tag is Blunt Smokely, you know, 420 whatever XXX.
Blunt Smokely.
Really don't care. You are a mindless zombie playing that game, basically.
I wouldn't have said Blunt Smokely. I would have said XX Elite MLG Sniper XX. But Blunt Smokely, you know, I think I might make a gamer tag called Blunt Smokely now. That sounds like a really good name.
You're on Call of Duty.
Okay. Moving on throughout the rest of the bulletin. Next up is the weapon tuning for the vehicles. So we've had a lot of discussions about the weapon balance in terms of the precision weapons and the automatic weapons, and now we actually have some information about vehicles. So the two big things that are being changed so far that they are willing to tell us about is the chain gun on the Warthog and the chain gun on the Mantis have received a 35% damage boost. So these make the vehicles a little bit more deadly, a little bit more powerful, that you need to control them. And they're still, of course, testing them in all the playlists, but they feel that this increase provides a new deadly method for a lot of objective play and really provides a good way for one team to dominate the map in things like Slayer that can utilize the vehicles very well. Now, vehicles, of course, are still susceptible to the plasma pistol overcharge and lasers and all that stuff, so that stuff they haven't said it's changing yet. It's just the damage on the turret for the Mantis chain gun and the Warthog chain gun. I have a feeling they're probably doing some other weapon balancing as well on the vehicles, or altering some damage tables that they're just not quite telling us yet.
I wish they would alter the EMP effect time. Just decrease it.
Yeah, I wish that it was decreased across the board.
It's like 3 seconds.
It depends on the vehicle, but it's very, very significant.
Well, I mean, I know, for example, with the Mantis, I think you more or less got a plasma pistol shot about 3 times before you actually have the time to get around to the back.
Well, because the Mantis, you're usually at a further distance. With a Warthog, you just zap them and they come to a halt for a good 5 seconds.
It's not that long, really. It's not that long, surely. I was playing Big Team Finish Slayer earlier today. It's not that long.
It's pretty long, dude.
I mean, it's just long enough to where if I shoot you with a plasma pistol and you get EMP'd and you're in a Warthog, that's enough time to throw a plasma grenade or something, get the jump on you, basically. And, I mean, that doesn't make any sense with vehicles as far as their traditional role in the Halo sandbox, which is kind of, like, they go beyond a power weapon because they're also a mobility option. And go ahead.
I mean, my only worry about that is, I mean, I was playing on XLO today, and it wasn't the Gauss Warthog that was causing the problem. It was the actual turret Warthog. And if you increase the damage on that 35%, I mean, I was dying in a second to that chain gun. And the spawns on XL are predictable. So I think that's going to be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't like the idea of increasing the damage on the Warthog turret, because I don't feel like that's the best way to go about kind of buffing the vehicles in this game. As I mean, really, the big problem with the EMP effect in Halo 4 is the fact you can spawn with a plasma pistol. If you actually had to go around and pick up a plasma pistol off the map, that would be perfectly fine.
Right.
You know, the EMP effect would be justified because you had to go find that weapon and use it. But now you can literally just spawn, you know, pull the plasma pistol out of the back of your pocket and just EMP whatever vehicle is in your way. And you're always going to have that plasma pistol.
But do you? I mean, we were saying earlier in the show, do people actually have that as their secondary now?
Yes, a lot of people do. A lot of people have plasma pistol secondary, and there's been a dramatic increase of people using active camouflage. It is sick.
I mean, I know I do, but I mean, you were saying about the bolt shot. You say you still run into people using the bolt shot.
Not as many people are using the bolt shot. I don't see the bolt shot as often anymore, but I mean, whenever I run up against it, it usually seems to kick me very hard in the ass. I see a lot of people, and this is just from me playing in over like the last 3 weeks or so with the group I've been running with lately, but it's been a lot of people using active camouflage, a lot of people having plasma pistols as secondary, a lot of people camo sniping and camo glitching. That problem still exists apparently, and it's just a lot of the people that I'm playing with now are getting frustrated.
Well, I mean, the plasma pistol just has more utility than the bolt shot, ultimately.
It does.
I mean, because it first of all, you just charge it up and knock someone's shields out from, you know, a fairly good distance, and then shoot them in the head, you know, the classic noob combo. It has that utility.
Bolt shot,
and then the EMP effect.
Bolt shot I find most effective on a drift. I see it mostly used on that map. Drift and abandon.
It makes sense on smaller maps without vehicles.
Yes. Anyways, back to the vehicle tuning. I'm sure they have some other vehicles that they're kind of looking at. I'm not sure what is going to be changed. I would like to see the damage tables changed a little bit, or definitely have the effect of the EMP reduced. Because it definitely seems like it's too long. I don't know. What are your guys' opinions on the viability of vehicles? Because on one side of the table you have that they're kind of exposed, and the fact that you can take them out pretty easily with standard weapons is one thing, but the other hand, they are kind of powerful in some regards, especially some things like the Gosshawk or I guess from Jack's case, the Chain Gun Hog can be very deadly. It seems like there's two kind of polar opposites to the vehicles here. And it never seems to be a balance of vehicle play versus on-foot play. It either seems like one team is either just being dominating with vehicles, or vehicles are just being decimated across the board. It never seems like there's a balance.
It's just, I feel like it does vary from map to map. I mean, for example, on XR, if you have a team that is using a plasma pistol, there are so many places to hide behind rocks, inside the buildings, that you can easily take out the vehicles. But if you look at a map like Ragnarok, it's such an open map that it's almost impossible to actually get to somewhere to actually use a plasma pistol to stop a Warthog, because it's so easy to drive.
Well, I guess to your point, though, yeah, there are those cases where you have the plasma pistol campers on those vehicles, but it's that still goes back to, if that's the case, then make it to where the plasma pistol is a pickup weapon, not something in your back pocket. So, I don't know. It doesn't seem like the vehicles are properly balanced. And I think in Halo 3, that was kind of the best balance of vehicles and weapons that we got in any of the Halo games so far.
Well, if you think about it, the plasma pistol kind of renders the Mongoose almost completely useless in Halo 4. If you can just pull it out, and I mean, most people have plasma pistols on the larger maps. As far as being a mobility option, which is all the Mongoose is, doesn't have any offensive capability, really. I guess you can have a guy with rockets on your back, and that's pretty cool, but it takes away that mobility option. Because if you get halfway into the map and I see you coming at me with a Mongoose, it's real easy to just pull the plasma pistol out and stop you and then get a double kill, assuming you have someone, you know, riding alongside you. But with the Warthog, if you're close enough to kill me with the Warthog turret, then consequently I am also close enough to pull out my plasma pistol and EMP you. And at the same time get the grenade chunk off that I need to kind of flip the Warthog over and take care of the turret situation.
I miss the days of Goose. I remember when that was such a big thing back in Halo 3, and even for a small time in Halo Reach, and that's just gone now. No one uses the Goose anymore.
I always felt that the Goose needed some sort of offensive option. And like, even if it wasn't very powerful, just something to defend yourself on that vehicle. Because, I mean, it's incredibly easy to get headshots on a driver of a Mongoose or a passenger. as opposed to even like the Warthog. Like, it's kind of difficult to get headshots on somebody driving the Warthog. Or even a Ghost, because it has that real wide kind of shield in the front. But the Mongoose had, like, the worst of all worlds. The only real advantage it has was speed. And even that speed is kind of offset by the fact that the Ghost is, you know, pretty fast. I know if I need to get somewhere on a map real fast, I would prefer the Ghost over a Mongoose. If only because you do have that offensive capability. But there's just so many better options than using a Mongoose in any match.
Well, I remember in Halo 3, the Mongoose was very good at running flags. I remember using it on Ghost Town. I remember using it on Standoff. I remember using it on Avalanche. It was very good for running flags. And now the Mongoose doesn't seem like it has much of a purpose anymore. There are the few cases where I do actually use it to run flags. But
yeah, but if you have a full Warthog, would you prefer the full Warthog to go get the flag runner or the Mongoose? I mean, except in certain situations where speed is a factor.
Right. It really depends. It just seems like, to me, vehicle utility has pretty much died in Halo 4, or is so messed up where it doesn't seem very balanced or very playable. I don't know. Something seems off about it.
Yeah, but I don't think increasing the damage on the Warthog turret, which is already, you know, pretty powerful right now. I mean, just in terms of the damage it does, even though vehicles as a whole are kind of nerfed in Halo 4 because of the plasma pistol situation, that turret is still very powerful. Like, if I see someone running up to me and I'm close enough to just jump in the Warthog turret, even if the Warthog, you know, doesn't have a driver, I'll get in the Warthog turret because it's real easy to get a kill with that thing. And, right. You know, increasing that damage by a third, you know, I can't imagine, you know, killing somebody a third faster, you know, on the Warthog turret nowadays. I realize that they're trying to make the Warthog viable, but it seems like they just don't understand that it... And maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the biggest issue with vehicles in this game is simply the fact that you can spawn with a plasma pistol. It's really that simple.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a close second, not like up there on the same level, but a close second is just when to have vehicles appropriately placed in the game. Like, there was a game of King of the Hill on Complex that I played a couple days ago, and the other team just was using Ghosts, and it's like, okay, you're just completely wrecking everyone on my team with the Ghost just because you have that one vehicle that no one has been able to take out, and it kills gameplay. A big thing for the Halo sandbox is when to put the right vehicles on the right maps. And I think that's kind of another gray area that Halo, that 343 has not nailed down on the vehicles.
Wait, you said that was Complex, right?
Yes.
Were you on the I can't remember what side it is. It's the side. It's the side that has the cliff to the right hand side. Were you on that side? That was your team on that side.
I don't remember which side we spawned on, but.
But I can imagine that's still something that needs to change on Complex, but that's a different rant. But I think that probably explains why you were getting destroyed by the Ghost, because of those spawns.
Maybe we were spawning all around the map. It wasn't a matter of spawning, it was just a matter of whenever we go for the hill, we just get creamed.
Oh, sorry, it's King of the Hill? Oh, okay. Sorry, my bad. I thought you were saying it was Slayer. Okay,
no.
Yeah. Okay,
no.
Fair enough.
All those outside hills, we would just get creamed by the Ghost. They have a lot of work to do with vehicles. I'm just going to lay it out like that. Maybe this 35% damage is a move in the right direction. We'll probably see it tomorrow in the stream with what they're doing with the vehicles. It wouldn't surprise me if they've done things with other vehicles as well, but they probably just haven't said anything yet. There's a quote that they have from the matchmaking team on some of the their justifications behind making some of the changes. And I pulled out something interesting here. They're talking about how they're having to really balance the whole sandbox, and they talked about having to support campaign, Spartan Ops, and multiplayer in the changes. So it's almost, I'm guessing these changes are actually going to be global across Halo. It's not going to be something that's just matchmaking specific. These are going to be actual global changes to the sandbox. Mm. I honestly thought it was just going to be changes to the multiplayer side of things, but it looks like at least from this quote in the bulletin, that it's going to modify all the weapons in the entire sandbox, which is kind of cool, in my opinion, actually.
It certainly seemed that way. I mean, that's what I got from there.
It'll be interesting to go run the campaign again with the new weapon balance.
Like, is it a technical thing? Like, can they not be able to just modify things in just multiplayer? Or is this an actual...
I think they can pull something that they did in Reach where you can actually just change the stuff in the game type. But I'm guessing the way they want to implement it, they're just going to do an across-the-board change.
To me, that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, though. If it was a true design decision, like they said, okay, we're going to do it for every mode in this game. Because then, I mean...
Not really.
People care about the... Well, just hear me out for a second. Like, right now, people care about multiplayer weapons. Really, nobody's complaining about campaign weapons or Spartan Ops weapons. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of those. Like, because you're not playing against another player, you don't feel cheated even if you die in campaign or Spartan Ops, because you were just using the weapons that were available to you. You're playing against AI. Like, people care about multiplayer weapon balance because you are playing against another player. And there's that kind of competitive thing where you want to make sure everything is absolutely balanced. But you really don't get that with campaign and Spartan Ops. And what bothers me is now they can't focus on multiplayer and make the changes that they need to in multiplayer on just the multiplayer aspect of that game, because they also have to make sure it doesn't break campaign or Spartan Ops. So things that they could possibly do in multiplayer that would make multiplayer a much better mode might necessarily make campaign and Spartan Ops not as much fun. You know, it would have the consequence of making those either unbalanced or just break the entire game. And then you have to say, well, we can't make this change because it would break these other two modes of our game.
I don't think the changes that they're going to be making for multiplayer stuff is going to be adversely affecting Spartan Ops and campaign. I think it's not going to really be a big deal for people that play those regularly. I mean, if it is, we'll definitely hear a community backlash about it.
Are there people that still play it regularly?
Yeah, there are people that play Spartan Ops and campaign regularly. Mythic Tyrant plays the campaign over and over again, day in, day out. He loves the campaign. He plays
more people play campaign than multiplayer. Like, I don't know what the exact statistic is, but I read that, like, campaign almost doubles the population of people who play multiplayer.
It may double the population, but I still think there's more hours put into multiplayer Halo than there is campaign.
Yeah, I'm just talking in terms of number of people playing. Like, there's a good set of people who play Halo who never play multiplayer. They're just in it for the campaign.
That's because they probably don't have Xbox Live.
Well, I mean, even people who do have Xbox Live, they're just not into that competitive multiplayer experience.
Fumo Jive is one of those.
They enjoy the campaign, they enjoy the story of Halo, but they just, I mean, maybe they just played for a while and they got completely creamed and it just, you know, set them off multiplayer forever, like, to where, I don't want to play because everybody just keeps beating me all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, Fumo Jive is one of those people that play mostly the campaign and that's about it. He comes online every now and then to do multiplayer, but he mainly plays the campaign. He's mainly a campaign first player person. So, it just shows you how dynamic the range is of people. And those people that don't have Live, they're not going to get this update anyway, so it's not going to affect their experience. I don't see a big deal having this change going across the Spartan Ops and campaign. Yeah, they're having to focus on making sure that it doesn't break those other things, but I don't think it's detracting too much from them actually doing the weapon balancing.
The only thing I can see it affecting is the vehicle balance in Spartan Ops, where the turret has 35% more power now, might kind of make it to where it's too powerful. Like, driving around in a Warthog in Spartan Ops is already a good option. Like, that's a powerful vehicle. You know, driving around shooting AI is... It's easier to get kills in Spartan Ops because it's AI. Like, you get plasma shot, like, sometimes, you get EMP'd sometimes, but not nearly as much as you do in multiplayer, where you're playing against real people who understand that if you see a vehicle, you need to EMP it. You know, you can go around, and especially if you have the Wheelman or the what is it, the Pathfinder, whatever it is, mod that increases your turret speed, you could actually have a really powerful, almost broken combo in Spartan Ops, driving around in the Mongoose or the Mantis.
Right.
Or not the Mongoose, the Warthog and the Mantis.
The Warthog, yeah.
The Mongoose.
The Mongoose. I think it just decreases the weapon cooldown, doesn't increase the firing rate. The weapon doesn't heat up as fast. And it cools down quicker. Yeah.
Yeah. You can fire longer.
Right. Basically. Right. Yeah. So, vehicle tuning, we know that we have the 35% damage increase on the chain gun for the Warthog and the Mantis. I'm betting there's some other things that are going to be coming out, but they just haven't said anything yet. Matchmaking playlist update. So, this next week, we are going to be having the Community Forge Island playlist. So, there are 6 community-made maps that are going to be introduced into this brand new playlist. And just like they've done with past Forge playlists, this is going to be out for approximately 2 weeks. And you'll be able to test out these maps and leave feedback on the Halo Waypoint forums and the War Games thread. So if you don't have Forge Island, which, believe it or not, some people actually don't, because we had a custom games last night and someone in our party didn't have Forge Island downloaded. If you're listening to this and you don't have Forge Island downloaded, you need to stop listening now, go to your Xbox, download Forge Island, it's about 120 megs, and then come back, because it's free. Go download it, it's free. The maps on here are none that I've played before, but I will be playing them next week for Monday Night Matchmaking. Yay! They are Elevated by Smexy Bilzo.
Smexy Bilzo.
Smexy Bilzo.
Oh, the names.
Game types on this map are going to be Infinity Slayer, Capture the Flag, 5 Flag, and Extraction 1 Site. The next map is going to be Crucifix by Wraith 2098. It's going to be game types Capture the Flag, 5 Flag, King of the Hill, and Infinity Slayer. Next one is Onyx by Ha Crazy. It's going to be Throwdown V3, Throwdown Capture the Flag, 5 Flag, and SWAT. So that one's a close quarters map. Very interesting. Next one is Confined by Big Papa Salot. Or Salot. It's going to be Team Throwdown Slayer Pro, Team Snipers, and 5 Flag Capture the Flag. Next map is Ender by The Faded Fire. Game types on there are going to be King of the Hill, Infinity Slayer, and SWAT. And then the 6th and final map is going to be Forgotten by Flying Shoe ILR. It's going to be 1 Site Extraction, 5 Flag CTF, and King of the Hill. So those 6 maps with the following game types are going to be available in the Community Forge Island playlist coming this following Monday. So coming on May 19th, and they'll be available all the way up, or May 20th, I'm sorry. And the playlist will be available up until June 3rd when the weapon balance update goes live. So make sure you get those maps played in very well. Then head on over to the War Games feedback section and leave your feedback for all the maps that are in the playlist. There's a couple other additions and modifications to some existing playlists for Big Team Infinity Slayer. Slayer Pro has now been added to voting options. Complex has been added in as a map for the rotations. And then voting options have been reorganized to provide increased variety. For the Infinity Slayer playlist, Slayer Pro has been added there as well. Complex has been added there, and the same thing, voting options reorganized to provide increased variety. So Big Team Infinity Slayer and Infinity Slayer have had Slayer Pro added, Complex, and then variety in voting. So that is our matchmaking update for the next 2 weeks. We will be having our Monday Night Matchmaking to play in the Community Forge Island playlist, so you will have to have Forge Island downloaded in order to play with us.
I'll be honest, if you don't have Forge Island downloaded, stop playing Halo 4. Because what are you doing?
Wow. Wow, way to love the people, Jack.
I don't understand.
I don't get it either.
It's an awesome map. It's amazing.
Well, the stuff people have made on them is amazing.
It's what Forges have been asking for since we first heard Forge back in Halo 3.
Right.
So I don't understand. Even if you just want to go on there, even one of my friends went on there to make a stupid map. He didn't even care. It was just a ridiculously terrible map, but he made it, and he thought it was fun. It's perfect. Download it.
Fair enough.
Now.
And finally, in this week's bulletin, we get to the screenshots. And for this week, it is the EVA armor. So there are a few in here that I like. I think the one that sticks out most to me is Imperable by Vesicated.
I need to get the bulletin up to look at these. Hang on.
It's got like that nice light glass shatter effect.
Okay, I got them. Wait. Ooh.
So there are lots of cool ones. I've been pulling the album art for the podcast from these screenshots. So, because there are some pretty good ones from week to week. My favorite,
this week's
though,
actually pretty good. Like, some weeks they just kind of, I don't know, I really can't pick a good one.
Right.
I've actually got to like Genesis most, I think. I know it's a simple one, but I like Genesis.
Lens flare. That's the first thing that pops out to me, is just that lens flare right across the middle.
Oh, that guy's used After Effects. Cheating.
Lens flare. The three that stick out to me, I already said in Parable, that's my favorite, but Beheld is a really cool one. EVA Passion and Emerald. Those are the other three that kind of stick out to me.
Yeah. Omniscient looks kind of cool. That kind of active camo effect.
Yeah,
that Emerald, that's below Forge World, isn't it? That's in the sea.
No, that's on. It looks like Wreckage. It looks like that one's on Wreckage with a green effect or something.
I swear he's underwater and just placed rocks underwater.
Possibly? I think it's honestly on Wreckage.
Huh.
I don't know if there's a way to really tell on what map that the screenshots are taken from.
Since he grapes you, you have to tell us.
I want to say it's Wreckage, though. Just with how those rocks look, they don't look like Forge Island rocks.
I'm going to try and find out very quickly, if I can.
So, that is the bulletin for this week. So, on to the bigger topic of this podcast.
Yay!
So, I have been working with Jack on a special project for the last, 5 months? I've been
more
working
than that.
Well, you've been working on it longer.
I've been working on it for about 8 months now, 8-9 months, probably about 9 months.
Yeah, so Jack had this idea that he's actually tried out in Halo 3 a while ago, and he's bringing it back for Halo 4 and actually making it a full production. And This is the moment that you guys have mostly been waiting for that have been on the live stream, and it is the Halo Mole.
I'm fist pumping right now.
Are you now?
Yeah.
So we wanted to kind of give you guys a little bit of insight on what the Halo Mole is, and I'm going to just let Jack start talking about it because this is his idea. He's the creator behind it. Contrary to popular belief, even though I've been spreading the word about it, I did not create the Halo Mole. That is all Jack's doing, and he came up with all the ideas for the challenges and stuff, and I'm just on along for the ride, and I'm going to be producing it. So all the website stuff, all the video stuff, I'm in charge of, and then all the creative stuff and all the planning, he is in charge of. So Jack, I will pretty much open up the floor to you, but I will start off with this question. What is the Halo Mole?
What is the Halo Mole?
This isn't game night. This is the Halo Mole.
Someone said it earlier in the chat. I had to bring it back up.
That's fine.
Oh, God. Well, the Halo Mole, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Mole. It was originally a Belgian series which went to the Netherlands, which came to the US and the UK back in 2000-2001. All it is 10 contestants get chosen at random from the public. They'd never met each other before, but one of them is a mole, and they have to sabotage the contestants whilst they do challenges. And each challenge is worth, I'm going to say money in this case, but for the Halo Mole, it will be Microsoft points. So each challenge is worth a certain amount of Microsoft points. If they complete the challenge, it goes to a prize pot at the end, which only one of them will win. However, the mole's basically target is to sabotage them, make sure they don't win. And whilst the contestants are competing as a team, oh, thank you for that. I love that background, by the way. I love the background. Whilst the contestants are competing as a team through these challenges, they're really actually on their own. And they actually have to find out who the mole is. So after, we're going to make it 2 challenges for the first season. So after 2 challenges and some interviews that we'll do, they'll do a quiz. There'll be you know, questions about the mole, about what they did in the challenge. So, and there'll be questions just like, what Spartan rank is the mole? So all the contestants will have different Spartan ranks. I will expect quite a few of them will be level 130. But so all the options, there'll be a multiple choice question. They'll have all the options. And whoever scores the lowest on that quiz is eliminated. They go to the next episode with 9 contestants. The cycle repeats. They go down to 8 contestants. It keeps going down until basically there are 3 contestants left. And then eventually they take the final quiz. You find out who the winner is. And whoever the winner is gets all the accumulated Microsoft points that have been won over the course of all 8 episodes. And that's basically the general idea of the mole. But there will be other clues in there. So it's not just from the challenges they have to work out. There'll be other clues that they can try and work out.
So this is something that you came up with the idea back in Halo 3, right?
Well, I love the mole. Personally, it's my favorite game show ever made, and I was so angry when they cancelled it. Back in Halo 3, though, the Forge was limited, as you know, and so I had to basically use the maps as they were designed to do that, because I did this before Sandbox came out, so I didn't even have Sandbox to work with, really. So I just did it with my friends. Sorry?
I said yikes.
Yeah, I mean, I just had simple challenges, like Last Resort, get on top of a pipe. And I put crates around, they'd have to punch crates to get there. I even put a grav lift somewhere. You know, it's just, you know, just stuff that was just a bit of fun. It was just mini challenges in there. But now with Halo 4, I can do so much more. I could have done it with Halo Reach, but I didn't really think about bringing it back for Halo Reach. I wasn't really into that whole machinima side during Halo Reach or the forging. But when Halo 4 came out, I really wanted to do that. And I decided to bring it back. So it was, I'm glad you're here helping me, and I'm glad we brought it back.
Nice. Well, I'm happy to help. It's a very cool idea. As far as we know, there hasn't really been anything attempted like this, trying to bring a reality TV show-like thing into a video game, such as Halo. So, especially with an actual prize pot to go with it. So, it's 2,500 Microsoft points, which is
a thousand.
I'm sorry, 25,000 Microsoft points, which is a very, very hefty number of Microsoft points. What did it come out to in terms of dollars? It was like...
Oh, it's something like...
6,000 US dollars?
No, nowhere even close to that, Dust. That's a little bit much, 6,000.
I'm sorry, not 6,000. I think I added an extra zero, 600?
Yeah, it's something
sorry,
close.
Sorry, an extra zero. I'm misplacing my zeros. I said 2,500, it said 6,000, wow.
I cannot afford 6,000. 600, yes. I think sounds about right.
So, my bad, people.
But I'll be honest, that's just there as a mini incentive. I really hope that people won't just be entering for that. And given the entries we've had so far, only a few people have really said entering for the Microsoft points. Most people have been saying they're entering because it's interesting. And I'm glad that they said that.
And we've actually, from the applicants that we've had, a lot of people say they really like the mole. And that's been really, really cool to see that there's just this big following of the mole, and the fact that we're actually being able to bring it into Halo and possibly make this into an actual running series has been very, very inspiring.
I mean, just having Saucy here from Beyond Entertainment, it's awesome. I mean, big community is actually taking notice of it. Now, I was so surprised when you did the announcement. You know, Jess, you know, wrote that email back to you saying that she thought it was an awesome idea. You know, everyone was retweeting it. I was just like, wow, people are really interested in this. I hope I don't screw it up. I hope we don't screw it up. It's going to be worrying. I'm going to be biting my nails during the whole editing process.
We're really excited about this, guys, and we're putting a lot of time and effort into it. And I know, Jack, you've been working on most of the map stuff. You've worked on all 16 challenges.
Yeah, 16 challenge maps. There's 2 elimination maps. There's, I think, 5 other maps. It's been about 23 maps in total I've made. Or I'm in the process of making the 23rd map right now. I just have one final bit to do on it, and then I'm done with it.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to see just kind of the evolution of these maps. And granted, I know I haven't remembered all the maps that you've shown me.
No, you never do. You never remember them.
I remember a few of them. It's disheartening. Not necessarily which one they are, which order they are. You'll show them to me, and I'll remember them once I sit down and actually...
You're going to have to download them because of that, the change that I'm going to make.
No, you don't.
Oh, no, we did that. Yeah, sorry. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Anyways, a couple of other things behind the Halo Mole. You want to go through some of the dates that we have set up for this?
I will. I do just want to quickly, because I feel like that it's a question I want to answer from Still Chewy there in the chat.
Uh-huh.
He said that there was a problem with the original show, that everyone pretty much knew who they were. That was only a Spanish episode. No, that's not the case. Unless they lied, that's not the case. People had no idea who the mole was. And in fact, the only time that people really knew who the mole was about episode 7, when there's 4 people left. And by that point, you've probably been able to narrow it down. Very few people know who the mole is up until about episode 5 that they really know. But in terms of like the editing of what we're going to be doing, obviously, we've had that problem in the fact of the main show is real. And the contestants in real life can't rewatch the footage. But there is nothing to stop the contestants, obviously, messaging each other, you know, going into theater, rewatching the clips. So the mole is going to have to be a lot sneakier in the Halo Mole. It's going to be much harder to be the Halo Mole than I think being the real mole. And obviously in the editing, we will be showing you not everything, but the best bits. And we'll make you, we won't lie to you, but we're not going to show you obviously who the mole is. We want you to work it out with the clues that we give you.
The editing process will be quite different. Especially for this, just because of the nature of how we're doing this with Halo. The contestants, that's why we're asking for a lot of submissions, so we can actually get the right kind of people to actually partake in this, and to have people that we can trust and know that are going to do this for the good of the show and actually make a quality mole series, for lack of better words.
Because if the mole, like, whoever I choose as the mole, if suddenly day one they suddenly just go, "Hey guys, great news, I'm the mole," that the whole thing's ruined. In one person just being like that, it just ruins it. Yes, the CSR ranks of people applying. Yes, because they make the quiz questions. A lot of people actually put that on the submission form, and they said, why do you want to know this? Why do you want to know my ethnicity? It's because when it comes down to it, and I want to make the quiz questions, that's what I'm going to make them out of. It's not just going to be the challenges. It's going to be, does the mole's first name begin with A through H, J through M, N to Z? It's questions like that. I want to know your background details that the contestants have to find out about the mole. They don't just have to like focus on the challenges. They have to do background research. So yes, that's why I want to know all that stuff.
And we have an FAQ and abouts in there that kind of go a little bit more into detail of why we're doing this, and for the registration part, why we're asking some of these questions. It's not that we're trying to profile you or take your information or anything. It's not anything like that. It's merely, that people did this for the actual mole series, and they actually did more. They got a lot more information out of people, like where they lived, if they were married, if they had kids, and all that stuff. We're not going into all that detail because this is something that's online. We're not actually doing this in real life. So we don't necessarily need all that information, but we do need a certain level of information that will make the show somewhat engaging and entertaining for people playing in the show and people actually watching it when we produce it.
But if you do want to send us your bank card, your bank details, and your PIN number, then by all means.
Yeah.
I mean, that will be greatly appreciated. I mean, we were discussing earlier about maybe starting a Kickstarter for season 2. So
I think if this turns out well enough, then we'll actually have people that would be interesting in sponsoring it.
I hope it does. I really hope it's not a complete flop. I mean, given that you're editing it, I don't think it will be. But
I'm a decent editor. I'm not great, but I'm decent.
Okay. So what was the question you were going to ask me before I completely interrupted you?
No, I lost my train of thought.
Yes, I did.
This is something that we're really interested in. Oh, it was dates. So.
Oh yeah, the dates. Okay, yeah. That was it. Yeah. Okay, so registration will end in 2 weeks' time on the 31st of May. So get them in now. We've had, I think Dust. We've had more than what Dust thought we'd get, but not as many as what I thought we'd get. I won't say how many we've had so far because, you know, just in case you want to.
We've passed my number up.
We've passed what Dust thought, but I've not quite reached my goal yet. So
we still have 2 weeks. We have two weeks.
And then after those 2 weeks, we'll go through another 2 weeks of interviewing all the contestants who we feel will be good. That will involve a challenge map that I made. That's another one of those maps that I made aside from the challenges. It's a very simple map, nothing complicated. It took me a day. And an interview on Skype. So that's why we also wanted the Skype information, because we want to find out, you know, stuff about you. We don't just want to know that you play Halo and all that stuff. We want to really find out about you, that whether we can trust you. Because I want to trust you.
There's a whole level of making sure that we get the right people for this, so it actually turns out to be a good series that we can actually possibly do again possibly make it a thing.
Which is why those last three questions are so important. And if you leave them blank, it doesn't do anything. Pretty much if you left them blank or said something stupid like, why do you want to make me the Halo mole? Because I love Halo and I'm a mole. What's great. Thanks for that. Thanks for letting me know exactly why I should put you in there. No, that's not an answer. It's interesting stuff about your background that I want to know. Like, well, I've been playing Halo for a while, and I love the TV show The Mole and other stuff like that. Interesting things you can tell me about you that make you an interesting character, why people want to watch you, and why you'd make a good mole. I mean, one person even entered and said that they answered the question and said, I wouldn't want to be The Mole, but if you chose me as The Mole, they do this. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that we're looking for.
Right.
Tell us what you do. What would you do if you were The Mole?
Yep. So make sure, and we really haven't talked about the registration yet, but if you are interested in registering, you can go over to the you can go over to thehalomole.com. We have our teaser up there, which we'll show actually at the end of our podcast tonight for everyone in the live stream. And you can go over there, and then after you watch the teaser, you can go register. And there's the registration form there. It's name, Skype, few simple questions, and then you're on your way. So if you want the chance to win 25,000 Microsoft points, then definitely head on over there, send in your registration, and we'll consider your application as part of the experience that's going to be the Halo Mole. We're excited.
We are. And nervous.
Yeah.
But, so the dates. So after that interview process, we will then go through the... Basically, we will arrange the dates. So we're not just getting applications from the US. We've had some from the UK. We've had some from Australia. We've had some from Scandinavia. We've even had one from Egypt. And so making a time frame for this may be a little bit difficult. But we will be talking to all the chosen contestants, and you will know whether you have been chosen because we'll be talking to you directly. And we will.
That's pretty cool that we have someone from Egypt registering for this.
I love that.
This is very, very cool.
Well, so it is spreading out among everywhere. So the whole world is entering. It's the first time it's been a worldwide mole. It's never been done before.
No, and we're hoping that if this all goes well and is very successful, that it leads to more seasons of this, or possibly opens avenues to other things.
Yeah. I mean, we have discussed other things that have been like a reality TV show, haven't we? Halo Races.
Well, that was a mission of a project that you were trying to do that just went rogue.
Yeah, it did.
But yeah, we're very happy about this one. We put in a lot of time and effort into it. I'm still working on the website. And come 2 weeks, we'll be done with registration. Then the 2 weeks after, we'll be filming. And then we'll be, after all that's done, we'll be producing the heck out of the show, and then come about mid-July, we'll be releasing our first episode of The Halo Mole. And it's going to be 10 episodes long. It's going to be...
Nine
episodes long.
And each episode will probably be somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes, I would have thought.
No, I'm expecting maybe 14 or 15 minutes.
That short? We'll talk about that.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll talk about it.
We don't want to bore the audience either.
Oh, well, that's one thing we don't want to do.
We want to keep it live and lively and entertaining.
Well, yeah. It's just that there is going to be a lot of information we need to cram in there, and 15 minutes may be a little bit too short.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So that pretty much covers info behind the Halo Mole. As far as what you can do, definitely go over and register if you think you want to participate. We have an FAQ that answers a good amount of questions, and if anything that you have questions about is not answered there, you can definitely hit us up on the contact form. All of our links are on the bottom of the page, so everything that you need to know about the mole is on the site, and everything you need about the Halo Mole is on the site.
Mm-hmm.
We have a blog that we post updates to regularly as well, and that's thehalomole.com/blog. That link's also on the bottom. And we have Twitter, which is twitter.com/thehalomole. And we have YouTube, which is where our series is going to be posted. We have the teaser, and we have an update video up there that we posted up about a week and a half ago. Actually, a week ago.
Yep.
And that kind of went into detail on where we were with progress on making the maps and the registration and stuff. So that's up on the YouTube page as well, and that's youtube.com/thehalomole.
It's also where a lot of the clues will be. The clues will be via Twitter, and the clues will be on YouTube. So you need to subscribe. Don't wait for someone to say the new episode's out. If you want to really get into this and try and work out who the mole is, because that's I think is for me the big pull. It's always been the big pull of the mole, is trying to work out who the mole was. Not just watching them and seeing the challenges, it's actually trying myself. Putting myself as the 11th contestant, trying to work out who the mole is. And we will be dropping clues outside of the episodes and in the episodes for you to work out who the mole is.
Right.
So, I mean, if you really want to stay into it, that's what you have to do.
It's going to be good. We're really looking forward to this. We've had some pretty good submissions so far in terms of registrations, and we are very, very pumped for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's pretty much the Halo Mole in a nutshell.
I want to know if Brent has any questions.
Nope. I've been listening, but it sounds interesting.
Do you have any questions that you would like to ask before, you know, we can ask the stream if they have any questions?
No. I think the stream would have better questions. One thing you never want from me is a question.
Oh, okay.
Always seems like a bad idea. Because I always end up asking, the worst kind of questions that people don't want to answer.
I don't see that, but okay.
Ask me one, and I'll see if I answer it.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Oh, that has nothing to do with the mole.
Exactly. See, that's but you didn't want to answer it. I was correct.
I could answer it, but I think it serves absolutely no purpose to this.
Well, it might be relevant to the mole. Nobody knows.
He has a point. He has a point.
See?
He does have a point. Who is your daddy?
Do you want his first name?
First, last, nicknames, aliases?
Are you data mining?
Yes.
Are you trying to figure out the identity of the mole?
His name is Papa Jackfire.
Ooh.
No, you're right. I don't want to answer it.
Wow. All right. Well, that wraps up this show, guys. Thank you for tuning in on the live streams for those of you who did. Thank you, Jack, for coming on the show and giving us a little glimpse into what the Halo Mole is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you guys want more information about it, or if you want to go register to apply to be on the Halo Mole, head over to www.thehalomole.com, watch the teaser, and register for your chance to be on the show. In terms of wrapping up the potacular part of this, thank you for tuning in and for your submissions. We got one. We're going to read that one before wrapping it up. It comes from Game Dude. He writes in, "Hey guys, I want to issue a challenge to the potacular community, a loadout challenge. Play any of the Halo 4 matchmaking playlists that uses custom loadouts and set yours to exclude all perks except explosions, resupply, or firepower. no armor abilities, frags only, no plasma pistol or bolt shot, magnum only, and any primary weapons you would like to use. Going down to the basics, that maybe this is how the custom loadout should have been. Note, this is optional. You don't have to do this if you want to. If you like armor abilities and bolt shots, I have no quarrel with you, but if you do it, I would love to hear from any of you guys. Just save your game and upload it to your file share and tag it GameDude03. So with that, I hope you look into my challenge and what you think of it. So frag those frags. So
I might try it.
I wish he went a little bit into more detail on why he's doing this challenge.
Well, I think it's to do with like the weapon tuning. I think he wants it to be like he feels the loadout should be. So no bolt shot, no plasma pistol. Well, what we were discussing earlier, that they should be, you know, pickup weapons, not starting weapons.
But he went into saying if you want to use armor abilities and bolt shots, you can.
I think it's more for the fact that maybe people find it a little bit too hard.
It would be interesting, because I feel that what he's doing with this loadout challenge is kind of like, okay, this is how vanilla Halo should feel.
Yeah.
And usually Game Dude is on watching the stream, but I don't think he's here this week, actually.
The only problem with that is I think you'd have to have everyone in the party doing it.
Yeah.
It can't just be you doing it on your own, because I just don't think it'll work. But if you'd want to play like a custom game of a 4v4 doing that, that might be interesting to see how it would work.
I would like to see it done in a custom. I would like to see it done in not necessarily a competitive scene, but actual solid customs.
Mm.
Like if we had a night where we did not the crazy custom maps, but actually did proper like Forge maps or things like that that aren't necessarily competitive driven, but are just there to actually have a good time. I would like to see it done in that kind of scenario.
It should be interesting.
It should. And I feel that what he's actually challenging people to do is actually how the balancing or how kind of the vanilla feel of Halo should be.
Mm.
So. All right. So yeah, that was our one submission. Thanks, Game Dude. He was the only one that sent one in last week as well. So keep on sending in those submissions. We will actually have a question of the week this week. For the weapon tuning, I'm going to pose this question. If there's one weapon that you think needs the most change, what weapon is it, and what would you change about it? So out of all the weapons in Halo 4, pick one weapon, pick what you would change about it specifically.
The correct answer is the pulse grenade. It's a weapon so broken that nobody cares about it anymore.
Actually, I've seen quite a few people more use it ever since the pulse grenade achievement was introduced in the Majestic map pack. I've actually seen a lot more people use it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just fun to use as like kind of a little diversion if you want to mix things up a little bit. But
yeah.
I'm saying like in a normal match, if I'm playing to win, probably not going to use pulse grenade.
Probably not. There's too much value in the frag and the plasma grenade that people are just so used to.
I think I'm going to go the opposite way. And I know this hurts me because I use it all the time, but I say the beam rifle, remove auto aim effectively. Because if anyone's like me who's ever used the beam rifle, it is far easier to no scope with it than actually scope in. So that's what I would change. I would make it so it's like a normal sniper to no scope with. Because it's ridiculously easy to use as a no-scope weapon.
Okay.
I'll show you some clips on Haven of me using it like dust later on.
Oh, I know. I'm the receiving end of it whenever we play Duck Hunt.
That is true. But that's scoped in. I don't no-scope them.
True. All right. Thank you guys in the live stream for tuning in. Remember, we do this live on Thursdays at 8:30 to talk about the regular bulletin updates. And then whenever we have special shows, we announce it on Twitter, Facebook, and try to spread the word about that. But our regular shows are Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. This next week, we're going to have Monday Night Matchmaking and Wacky Wednesday. So that is going to be Monday and Wednesday, respectively, both at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you want to play in the new Community Forge Island playlist, definitely hit us up on Monday. And then Wacky Wednesdays, of course, is going to be wacky as ever. Make sure you follow us on our social media sites. We have Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. I know I've been saying that we're going to do something with the YouTube channel. I actually just bought a new camera. So it is, for all you camera people out there, it is the Canon Rebel T3i. So I dropped quite a bit of money on that. And I'm actually going to be doing some stuff with it, hopefully here, for conventions, and mainly just I wanted a good camera. But since I have it now, I'm going to actually be doing some kind of weekly update stuff to just throw on our YouTube channel so we have content. So it'll be just kind of update videos on what happened in the bulletin, the fact that we had a podcast, and then any other additional podcasts that we have and all that good stuff. So it's going to be, if you guys have watched the Griffball Pro Runs, it's going to be in a similar format. It's not going to be like strict 1 minute or anything, but it's just going to be weekly updates to things. So I will start doing those, and it'll probably be released like on a Sunday or something, since it'll be just easy to just record for 3 minutes and then throw it into Premiere and then export it. So there's going to be stuff coming to YouTube on our YouTube channel very soon. We do this show pretty much for free out of our own pockets, so any donations are appreciated if you are feeling kind enough to donate. On our homepage, podtacular.com, there is the donation button that you can send any amount of money to. Any amount helps if you feel like giving. If not, then just your support for the show would be very much appreciated. So just spread the word about us, get us out there to the masses and all that good stuff. If you have any questions about anything that you heard on the show tonight, or anything regarding the weapon updates going to be coming up, anything that's Halo mode related, definitely drop us a question at submissions@podtacular.com, or you can use the big green button on our homepage, which says submit, and then it'll take you to our submission form where you could do it that way. We also have a voicemail that you can call in, which is 206... No, that's the old one, sorry. 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256, and you can leave any of your questions, Halo-related stories, or content over there as well. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in. And with that, we are going to close it out. Keep on fragging the mole.